In high school, there was a drama that our seniors had to construct, and I just remember this one scene. There was someone going to work, and this man was passing someone who was coming from a party late that night, carrying her shoes and drunk, and you know, it was like that. It was like, what was night for one, was daytime for the other. So for the devotees, it's kind of like that. Up at 4 o'clock in the morning, people around think it's a nuisance that we're chanting, and yet if they're playing their stereos at midnight, we think that's a nuisance. So there's that duality. And someone who actually concentrates on tapa, who believes in renouncing sense gratification, is often thought to be unstable or crazy. And those who are concentrating their minds and engaging in tapasya and concentrating their minds on Krishna tend to think that it's craziness to be playing a stereo at 1 in the morning and to be drinking and dancing and carrying on. So this is, therefore it's said that tapa or tapasya or penance is the wealth of the Brahmins. It's actually a kind of wealth. It is a wealth. Not the kind of wealth that means you have a better boat, a better car, an airplane, better vacations and so on. According to the Bhagavad philosophy, every human being is meant simply for this tapa and no other business, because by penance only one can realize his self. And self-realization, not sense gratification, is the business of human life. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattva. Rishabhya told us that this is actually why you're here. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattva. There's no other engagement for a human being, because if you love Krishna, you automatically renounce certain other things. And if you renounce other things but don't love Krishna, you're also in a bit of never land. The place doesn't really mean anything. But if you renounce the material world and you develop love for Krishna, then that's perfection. So the wealth of the Brahmins is this tapasya. And as we develop love for Krishna, we automatically lose our taste for sense gratification. So tapasya, in that sense, is automatically developed. But in another sense, because we have to resist the temptations of Maya, it's necessary to practice different forms of tapasya, and that's what the regulated principles are about. That's what Chant 16 Rounds is all about, in case I didn't happen to notice. This tapa, or penance, was begun from the very beginning of the creation, and it was first adopted by the Supreme Spiritual Master, Lord Brahma. By tapasya only, one can get the profit of human life, and not by a polished civilization of the animal life. The animal does not know anything except sense gratification in the jurisdiction of eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy. But the human being is made to undergo tapasya for going back to Godhead, back home. Does that make sense? Have any questions or comments? Okay, I'm gonna, all right.
Go right. Can you say more about that? About your realizations about keeping that focus?
You're asking me what my realizations are about keeping that focus so that one doesn't get caught up in sense gratification?
Keep like indulging the mind again.
How to control the mind.
Yeah, and keeping it single.
And how do we keep the mind single pointed so that it's not spread out and looking for different things? Very interesting point. This is alluded to a bit in the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter on Dhyana Yoga. It talks about mind control. In the last verse of that chapter, Yoginam Api Sarvesham, Makata Nantaratmanam. There's some talk about, in Prabhupada's purport, about controlling the mind. And in a lecture on that verse, he's talked about how one way to control the mind is to always be thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness. In fact, he went so far as to say that's the secret of controlling the mind. You should be taxing your brain, he said, how to somehow influence people to take Krishna consciousness. And this is a form of mind control. You should be meditating on it. Of course, there are many other ways to control the mind. One of the ways, one of the best ways, is to stay in good association. Because if we follow the Upadeshamrita's instruction to associate with devotees, and to the Pratilakshana verse tells us that we should reveal our minds to devotees. Guhya Makarti Prichati. That really helps, because the things that are most interesting to talk about are not, you know, who won the football game or what are we going to do for Christmas, but what's Krishna doing? And how, what kind of devotional service are you going to engage in? Am I going to engage in it? That's actually Dhyana Yoga, that's the perfection of devotional service. So association with devotees, Ramananda Roy also glorified this, is one of the ways that we can keep the mind very focused by keeping good association. It's associating with people that makes us happy or makes us lively or makes us think. It's somehow in the back of our minds we're always thinking about the people that we know, the people that we love, the people that we want to please, the people that we look up to, the people that we're training, the people that depend on us, the people that we love. So association is very, very important. And I think Prabhupada's on record as saying that if you associate with drunkards, you become a drunkard. If you associate with devotees, you become a devotee. You've had that experience. If one reveals one's mind or is in the habit of revealing one's mind and getting involved in intimate exchanges that are based on sense gratification, on those kinds of questions and answers, and are really based on the kinds of things that lead to more sense gratification, then the mind's going to be difficult, very, very difficult to control. Of course, as Arjuna said, it's very difficult to control anyway, in any case. But by associating with devotees, by worshipping the deity, by molding one's life in such a way that one is always thinking of Krishna, burning incense, having pictures on the wall of Krishna. That's also another form of association, eating Krishna prasadam, doing things to spread Krishna consciousness, and keeping good association, keeping pure, developing purity in the heart, associating with people that we look up to. That's all part of controlling the mind and helps us a lot. And just always to try to think about Krishna, to try to chant Hare Krishna all the time. Sometimes when we're walking along or just we're just thinking, we're doing something, we're not chanting our rounds. And then sometimes I think, well, what was I doing for the last half hour? I was thinking. I was thinking about what I did or what I was going to do or something like that. I mean, if you're thinking about spreading Krishna consciousness, that's good. But was I chanting? And very often, I wasn't. So if you're always chanting all the time that, you know, you're not having to do something that requires a lot of concentration, crunching numbers or whatever it might be, even then, it's possible. You should be chanting Hare Krishna. And that keeps the mind very focused on Krishna. The more we, in our spare time, if there is such a thing, chant Hare Krishna in the shower, going to sleep, waking up. There's always some time. Anyway, those are some ideas about how the mind can be better focused, some of my perspectives on it. Maybe somebody else would like to add to that, and some hints about how we can better concentrate the mind on Krishna. Yes, spend any time.
What you said, devotees association is most powerful during the morning program. I'm pretty convinced that if somebody doesn't have a habit in his favor, he will have a difficult time to control his mind.
Yeah, because then you're in the temple, you're with the deities, you're shoulder with the devotees, you're in an atmosphere that you don't want to think any thoughts of sense gratification. And this is a symptom of advancement that they're always very attached to. Association with the deities, with each other, chanting, hearing. And I think that was something Prabhupada wanted too, isn't it? Devotees that live in communities, that they should be very strict about their program and their chanting in the morning. Yeah.
Always planning devotional service.
Planning.
Yeah, always thinking, always planning a devotional service.
Yeah.
Just like we just did it happen, you always try to plan it just in front of it. That way you're always thinking about how to do it better.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes really demanding and then you naturally thinking about how to do the service.
Well, that's an interesting point. So he was making a point about planning, how planning is very important. I read somewhere that it was a study done by, it was Princeton University. Their study showed that the students who had goals when they came into that university after time were worth more to the university than all the other students combined. How they judged that, I don't exactly know, but it had to do with the contributions, financial contributions they were making after they were alumni, and the kind of input, I think, also that they were giving from their intelligence. They were planning their lives. So for devotees, as you indicate, whenever we have that free time, if we're always thinking ahead, we're planning how to better our devotional service, how it's going to be better for us as we grow in time, how it's going to be better for everyone around us. That's definitely an important way to control the mind. In other words, we shouldn't be planning to have a better material situation. Yes, Ross Pilas.
There is one verse in sixth canto of first chapter, number 213, it says, Brahmacharya Tapasana Samanachar Dhamanachar Shakya Purchadena Yamana Yamanachar. And it says, to concentrate the mind, one should voluntarily accept the life of austerity, celibacy, and abstain from sense gratification. One should be truthful, clean, and
Yeah, that's very good. These are that you were naming different principles that help us develop in our Krishna consciousness, concentrate our minds. Chanting, following the regulated principles strictly. What else did you say? Be truthful. Practice celibacy. Yeah, these are some of the different elements of austerity that we engage in, that people can't, who engage in sense gratification can't fathom. But if we're strict about these things, and there's many other qualities that are mentioned, Chaitanya Chaitanya, Vatitikshakura, tolerance, mercifulness, Sufrida, friendliness, you know, there's this,
non-violence.
So many things that help us. This is a very good point. Actually, I think I mentioned this in class, that Prabhupada tacked up to the wall with 26 qualifications because he thought they were so important for us to know, to think about, you know, am I being more silent? Am I being poetic? Am I being expert? And in a class, I think it was a, I don't know, yeah, it was in a class rather than a conversation, he said that we should measure ourselves up against these qualifications that are mentioned in the books, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that these would be the test of how we're becoming Krishna conscious. So these are our ways of controlling the mind. The mind should always be active. The mind tends to be lazy. We tend to just kind of kick back and let it float and float downstream, so to speak. And that's a kind of laziness, isn't it? That we don't really try to advance. We're just kind of not thinking. Of course, lazy intelligence has been glorified as being a way to a very refined kind of intelligence, but that's a pretty rarefied and exceptional sort of thing Prabhupada was talking about. But even lazy intelligent people, they're not lazy. Their intelligence isn't lazy. They're actually, he was using it in terms of like someone who invents something, for example, or solves a mathematical problem. You sort of forget about it for a while and you come back to it, or in your dream or in sort of daydreaming state, you come to the, it all sort of falls into place. The musical composition or the invention or the solution to the mathematical problem. But that's not laziness. These are people that are trying to solve problems, trying to write things, their music, or they're really concentrating. They're just letting the mind kind of have its little play of, you know, back and forth, you know, draw the reins on it, let the reins a little loose. But it's actually very active. So the more active we are in thinking about how to engage in these types of austerities. And austerity of the mind is talked about also in the 17th chapter. So that's also there. And these, some of these things, in order to make the mind austere, like celibacy, and engaging in devotional service constantly, that helps purify the mind. Any others? Yes, Abhay?
I've had said one time that my only qualification, as he was talking about as being a spiritual master, is that I didn't deviate 1 inch from the instructions of my spiritual master.
Mm-hmm.
So one's always thinking about the spiritual master's instructions, like,
yeah,
that it helps to focus,
yeah,
on that.
Yeah. As Prabhupada said, that he was asked to print books, even if we have to dismantle the temples. That was his way of saying that it was very extremely important, and there was nothing more important for him and his mission to do than to print and distribute books. So whatever the instructions given to us by higher authorities, spiritual master, by Krishna, that's something to be taken, as Prabhupada said, as a life and soul, and that helps keep the mind very pure. So that, yeah, I think you were making the point that taking instructions from a spiritual master and meditating on them is a kind of samadhi, a way to keep the mind purified. Yeah, very good.
And also how Prabhupada has such a vision. Like when we were sitting on a park bench for really long with a man, it was a man or a woman. And the person got the impression that Prabhupada had this amazing vision in all these temples around the world, although at that time there wasn't any temples. But Prabhupada had that vision of there being temples and centers
Yeah, this mention of Prabhupada having the vision that there would be many temples and many devotees, centers of Krishna consciousness all over the world, is an indication how important it is to have goals in life. There's a saying about, you know, a man without a goal is like a ship without a rudder, something to that effect, that we actually have to plan and have goals and visions like Prabhupada did. They may not be as extreme and as far-reaching and ambitious as the ones we've seen. They seem to be ambitious as Prabhupada had, but nevertheless, why not? Why not have goals, and why not be a little ambitious about Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada certainly was. Because if we look back at the last 20 or 30 years, I can't conceive how we got here from there. And if we try to look into a crystal ball and figure out what's going to be in 30 years from now, it's very hard to figure it out. You know, very difficult. It's like these educators were saying, we don't know what kind of a world we're preparing these children for. We don't know, as devotees, what Krishna consciousness is going to evolve into in 30 years. We have no idea. I mean, we can speculate. We can think about different things. We can hope for different things. We can plan for certain things. But it's actually hard to tell what shape it's really going to have. We don't know. But at the same time, even not knowing doesn't mean we can't plan. In fact, it's even more reason to plan, because everybody's planning. Everyone who's successful is planning. Like Prabhupada, he had big plans. And even though they didn't exactly maybe manifest in every detail the way he envisioned them, the main thrust of what he wanted to happen was that Krishna consciousness would spread all over the world. It did happen. That's just some other... Yes, Gauroy.
Blind following is
contained.
Uh-huh. And I heard quite this, was just the other day in that lecture of Buddhist tradition, talking about, I should probably say, about simply blindly following very much.
Yeah. So the question is, can you be a blind follower? Is it good to be a blind follower? Because Prabhupada said that he was following his spiritual master like a blind slave, or words that like that. And at the same time, he talked about using the mind in a scientific way to understand and not be a blind follower. I think it was the words to that effect. I think blind slave was used somewhere in the Bhagavad-gita. I remember reading that. So there's a story that Prabhupada was walking with some devotees, and he was pointing at different things, saying, that's a nice car, we can use it in Krishna service. And he was walking with a group of devotees, and they were affirming, oh yes, that is a nice car, we can use cars for Krishna service. And then they were walking in a nice park, and he said, we're chanting around, so we're thinking about Krishna, we're walking, so this is a good place to engage in. This park is very useful for Krishna service. Oh yes, Prabhupada, it's very good for Krishna service, certainly. And then he said, and these tulsi beads, these are genuine tulsi beads, and they help me chant. And I think that any kind of beads that you chant on are good for Krishna consciousness. I would say, oh yes. The devotee said, yes, Prabhupada, we can use any kind of beads in Krishna service. This is very good for Krishna service. And then with his cane, Prabhupada pointed to a dog and said, and this dog also can be used in Krishna service. And the devotee said, yes, Prabhupada, that dog would be very useful in Krishna service. And I was like, no, you fool, you can't use a dog in Krishna service. How can you use a dog? You're a blind follower. So there's a kind of saying, or a kind of thought, that thoughtlessness or kind of laziness is really what is meant by blind following. Not thinking, really, because the instructions that were imparted by Prabhupada basically were good instructions. So it's said in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Tathagatani Pratimah, Pada Prashnana Sevaya, that we should question the spiritual master. Not challengingly, but we should try to ascertain, well, how does this happen? If Krishna consciousness is going to spread, how is it? If we're going to build a temple, well, how do we do it? You know, how do we put the bricks and mortar in there? And how's it actually going to take place? And how do we get the money in? These kind of questions were sometimes asked to Prabhupada. And he would say, he gave instructions about earning money, getting money. At one time, there was little money in the London Bhaktivedanta Manor temple. Prabhupada said, well, how many Indian people are in this country? And the answer was, oh, 400,000 or 500,000. And then he said, well, do you think that every one of those people could give one pound, even a month? And I guess so. And so then he started thinking, well, 400,000 pounds a month is quite a bit of money, you know. And so then the devotees acted on that, and they gradually unfolded how to do it and figured it all out. So it's like Prabhupada said, well, Krishna's a rich man, there's never any shortage. You know, if you divide all the money, everyone's got $1 million and so on. But how do you... And so Prabhupada was able to impart this knowledge to us, and in that way he was showing us we have to actually think and have to ask questions. So blind following, which is truly blind, is not good. But in the sense of having faith and confidence that the instruction is given to me by a spiritual master, they're right. They're correct. Well, that's what he meant, I think, when he said that I'm blindly following what my spiritual master said. He wasn't not questioning it, but he knew that he was doing the right thing. He had his good will in mind, that he wanted the right thing to be done. That he had in mind what it would be, the correct thing. That's the way I interpret it anyway. Yeah.
It's like stepping out on faith, for example. You don't quite know how it's going to work. Right. You have faith,
you have confidence, you have conviction that this person is telling me the right thing. So he has, my good in mind, what's going to develop. And he's like a father, he's going to help me. And then it unravels, and therefore that can be questioned. But in the sense that it's good and going to help, that's blind in the sense that confidence and conviction and sure, confidence and all that sort of thing, faith is blind. Then we can apply it that way, I think. Any other comments? Questions? Okay, so we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.